KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Good morning, I'm Mark Sutter reporting for KJAN News. Quick check of the weather forecast. Scattered showers with some thunderstorms, mostly cloudy skies, then becoming gradually partly sunny. A high will be near 91 degrees, east winds at 5 to 15 miles per hour. And the chance of precipitation today is at 50%. And then for later tonight, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 9 o'clock. Partly cloudy skies, low near 72 with south winds, then mostly sunny skies on Thursday. High near 91 with heat index values as high as 100 degrees. Looking ahead to Friday, chance of showers and thunderstorms with a partly sunny sky. Once again, high near 91. Then for Saturday, again, chance of showers and thunderstorms in the weather forecast. Mostly sunny skies and a high near 90. In the Atlantic, we do have cloudy skies, and temperature reading is at 61 degrees. The Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening is expected to act on approving the second reading of Ordinance Number 953, an ordinance designating the 2014 Urban Revitalization Area. The Council had previously adopted a resolution for the Urban Revitalization Area, but that plan does not become effective until the Council adopts the ordinance, which designates all real property contained within the incorporated limits of the City of Atlantic. Council held the first reading of the ordinance at its meeting on August 2nd, beginning at 5:30. Council also held the first reading of the Ordinance Number 954 that adds a new subsection pertaining to speed regulation. During a recodification process last year, that section of the city code was inadvertently left out. As the Chief of Police and City Attorney have asked that the new code be amended to reinstate the old subsection. And other business, the Council is expected to act on motion to accept the letter of transmittal from the Planning and Zoning Commission to vacate Lot A of Southern Heights Subdivision 2nd Edition. Zoning Administrator John Lund reports the Planning and Zoning Commission at their meeting on August 12th reviewed and approved the Southern Heights 2nd Edition site plan submitted by Don Sontag. The site plan calls for 6 duplex condominiums facing 22nd Street. One of the lots, Lot A, is platted as the street entrance, which conforms to the city's adopted comprehensive plan's transportation concept, which shows the future street connections in the area between 19th and 22nd Streets. In order for the site plan to move forward, including a sixth duplex to be platted on street entrance, as the commission had recommended that Lot A be vacated by the City Council, which would allow for the duplex condominium unit to be built on it. Council may also act on authorizing the mayor to execute a loan agreement between the city and RD Atlantic. Last September, RD Atlantic LLP had asked the council for financial assistance for an elderly affordable housing rehabilitation project. The project involved Regency Villa Apartments at 1601 Redwood Drive. Council agreed at that time to provide a 20-year, $20,000 interest-free loan to RD Atlantic with the principal due in 2030. RD Atlantic agreed to pay the city $750 per year as payment in lieu of taxes. As their facility is operated as a nonprofit and does not currently pay taxes, the project, in essence, will serve to pay the city 3.75% interest on the loan and will be a separate side agreement. Cass County Board of Supervisors will be meeting this morning in Atlantic. During their 8:30 session, the board will be acting on approving an application with the industrial property tax exemption for the reconstruction of an existing building and new construction. In other business, the board will review and act on approving applications for multifamily construction program, round number 6, committed development block grant funding. Deer County Board of Supervisors will be meeting this morning as supervisors will hear from County Auditor Mindy Schaefer with her annual financial report. Custodian Rick Wallace will have the resignation of his hourly help and discuss with the supervisors advertising for a replacement. County Engineer Nick Kaufman will also have contracts for 2 ridge replacements in the county, one in Harrison Township and the other being in Union Township. A right-of-way contract will be approved for a project in Harrison Township, plus a new hire for a bridge crew along with the regular report on maintenance and activities. Derrick County supervisors are also scheduled to receive an act on correspondence from the Iowa Department of Natural Resources regarding 2 hog confinement permits, one from Circle G and the other from Godel Pork Sites at 9:30. Derrick County Board of Supervisors will be meeting this morning at 9 o'clock in the boardroom at the Derrick County Courthouse in Greenfield. Firefighters from Stewart and at least 13 other fire departments battled a blaze that destroyed the Casey Community Building last night. KCCI-TV in Des Moines reports the blaze broke out shortly after midnight. Passersby reported the building was fully engulfed in flames. Heavy rain that rolled through the area also helped to smother the flames, but the building was considered a total loss after the roof and other parts of the structure collapsed. The cause of the fire has not been determined as of early this morning, but authorities says that it does not appear to be suspicious. Harlan Police Department has released their report for the week. A convenience store in Harlan reported to police a theft from their business. A A review of the surveillance video showed Eddie Peterson of Harlan taking merchandise off the shelf and leaving without paying for it. Police went to Peterson's home, where he was cited and released on fifth-degree theft charges. Harlan police also cited Tammy King West for trespass after officers were called to the 1600 block of 8th Street in reference to a dispute over a cell phone. Several hand tools and power tools were also reportedly stolen by Scott Kobold of Harlan at his residence. The Harlan Police Department continues to investigate the situation. A Harlan man was also arrested by Harlan police following a traffic stop. Jerome Wright was arrested on an active Shelby County warrant for failure to appear. As a result of the stop, Wright was found to be in possession of a controlled substance and paraphernalia and was transported to Shelby County Jail, where he was charged with possession of a controlled substance, being marijuana with intent to deliver, possession of drug paraphernalia, prohibited acts, and failure to affix a drug tag stamp. Wright has also been cited by Harlan Police Department for failure to prove security against liability. Area counties are starting the process of gearing up for this fall's election. Five residents of Shelby County have been nominated for four-year terms at the County Extension Council by the nominating committee. Those nominated include Alan Bauman of Kirkman, Renee Hampson of Harlan, incumbent Joe Kinkle of Defiance, Lori Knudsen of Harlan, and Ellen Rossman of Harlan. In addition to Kinkle, those whose terms expire include Laura Friend of Erling, Kay Goshorn of Harlan, Travis Lane of Shelby, and Jake Schechinger of Harlan. Those running for election will have their names on the November 4th general election ballot. Extension Council is the county governing body for the Iowa State University Extension Outreach. Members of the council manage the county extension budget, determine programming, and hire county staff. Candidates who agree to run must file nominating papers with the Shelby County Auditor as of 5 o'clock August 27th. Individuals who were nominated may file petitions with the names of 25 registered voters who have their names placed on the ballot. Petition forms are available at the county extension office. Governor Sherry Branstad received word on Tuesday that two counties have been added to the presidential disaster declaration granted for 22 Iowa counties impacted by severe weather in June and July. Crawford and Shelby counties have been added to the disaster declaration granted on August 5th of 2014. Those two counties will join several other counties, including Audubon County, in the declaration approved by the president, which provides federal funding for declared counties under the Public Assistance Program. Public assistance may also be used for emergency work and repair or replacement of disaster damaged facilities and may include debris removal, emergency protective measures, repair of damaged public property, loans needed by communities for essential government functions, and grants for public schools. The Iowa Aviation Museum in Greenfield has announced an upcoming dedication ceremony to honor 27 men and women whose hard work has created the Iowa general aviation industry we enjoy today. Opening in May of 1990, the Iowa Aviation Museum is located in Greenfield and was formed to preserve, display, and educate the public on Iowa's rich aviation heritage. The collection includes many vintage aircraft and other historical memorabilia, ranging from balloons of the 1800s to Iowa's contribution to space exploration. Aviation legend Howard Gregory dedicated the museum to the original aviation pioneers, the men and women whose hard work, tireless hours, and sometimes dangerous efforts created the Iowa general aviation industry of airports, aerial transportation, construction, and agricultural applicators. As the museum approaches its 25th anniversary, officials are honoring the next generation of Iowa aviation promoters. Those are the airport operators, pilots, mechanics, and salesmen whose untiring efforts continue the work of their predecessors to give Iowa's aviation system we enjoy today. Many of the sons and daughters of the original aviation pioneers, for this reason, will be referred as the second generation. 27 individuals were chosen by their peers to be recognized at a formal ceremony, including the dedication of a plaque bearing their names. Those names include Jim Bartholomew, Charles Holly, Ron Remmers, Larry Burness, Russ Knock, also Hazel Sigafoos, Willard Carson, Bill Dial, Dan C.B. Smith, Jim Connell, Ernie LeClaire, Bill Smothers, Mike Connell, Gary and Janet Lewis, J.B. Straley, Robert Dahl, John Lowe, Jerry Strunk, Ed Doyle, Ivan McBride, John Tibben, Richard Drake, Bob Mosley, Dick Westbrook, Paul M. Green, Lee Nichols, and Russell Zanger. The Iowa Aviation Museum is honoring the second generation Iowa aviation promoters in a ceremony to take place on Sunday, August 24th, during the 22nd annual Wings Fly-In. Breakfast will be served from 7:30 until 11 o'clock, with the ceremony and plaque unveiling to be scheduled at 10 o'clock. Public is invited, and for more information, call the museum at area code 641-343-7184. And a quick check of world headlines for this morning. Attorney General Eric Holder will be traveling today to Ferguson, Missouri, to meet with FBI and other officials conducting a federal investigation into the fatal shooting of an unarmed black 18-year-old by a white police officer. Local police saying during protests last night they arrested 47 people, mainly for not obeying police orders to leave the area. Protests were relatively quiet. Germany says it is ready to arm Iraq's Kurdish fighters who are battling insurgents in the group of Islamic State in northern Iraq. Germany's foreign minister says his country would closely coordinate efforts with France, Britain, and other European countries already delivering the weapons to the Kurds. At least 36 people are dead and seven are missing from landslides near Hiroshima, Japan. Rain-soaked slopes collapsed in torrents of mud, rock, and debris, and caved-in hillsides were swept down the residential areas in at least five valleys. Public broadcasting NHK is showing rescue workers suspended by ropes from police helicopters pulling victims from the rubble. Other rescuers climbed into windows as they searched for survivors in crushed homes. And the aunt of a two-year-old girl killed by a hit-and-run accident is under arrest for allegedly leaving the child alone on San Francisco crosswalk. Police say 25-year-old Loretia Gage was taking care of her twin niece and nephew when she tried to cross a busy intersection against a red light with the girl Friday night. Gage left the intersection to go back and get the boy, who is still on the sidewalk. A white sedan then hit the child, did not stop. Authorities are still looking for the driver. Gage has been charged with suspicion of felony child endangerment. And funeral notices for today on this Wednesday. Dorothy Beck Reimers, 95, of Manning, died Saturday, August 16th at the Manila Manor. Funeral services for Dorothy Reimers will be held today at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. OD Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Vernon Roy, 93, of Manning, died Friday, August 15th at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Mass of Christian burial services for Vernon Roy will be 10:30 today at the Sacred Heart Church in Templeton. OD Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Merle Winther, 91, of Elkhorn, died Saturday, August 16th at Salem Lutheran Homes in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Merle Winther will be Thursday at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. OD Funeral Home in Kimbleton has the arrangements. Darlene Tagg, 82, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday, August 17th at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Darlene Tagg will be held Thursday at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Thomas Elmer Tremmel of 63 of Harlan died Sunday, August 17th in Harlan. Funeral services for Thomas Tremmel will be Thursday, August 21st at 1 p.m. at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Atlantic. Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Patsy Gorka, 78 of Elkhorn, died Sunday at home. Services for Patsy Gorka will be held Thursday at 2 p.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church in Elkhorn. OD Funeral Home in Elkhorn has the arrangements. Arthur Art Malloy, 76, of Sudan, formerly of Audubon, has died. No funeral services will be held for Art Malloy. Family visitation will be Thursday from 4 until 7 p.m. Brown Funeral Home of Sudan has the arrangements. Carmelita Flickinger, 97, of Greenfield, died Friday, August 15th, at the Greenfield Manor. Mass of the Resurrection Service for Carmelita Flickinger will be held 10:30 Friday at the St. John Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Harriet Hattie R. Hoig Becker, 88, of Dillon, Montana, formerly of Atlantic, died July 13th in Dillon, Montana. Celebration of life services for Hattie Hoig Becker will be held Friday at 11 a.m. at the St. Paul Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Pauline Lee, 87, of Guthrie Center, died Monday, August 18th at Panora Nursing and Rehab in Panora. Funeral services for Pauline Lee will be Friday, August 22nd at 11 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Alice Mendenhall, 100, of Atlantic, died Sunday, August 17th at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Alice Mendenhall will be Saturday, August 23rd at 10 a.m. at the Hamlin Lutheran Church. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has the arrangements. Barbara Lee Vandenberg, 72, of Atlantic, died Monday, August 18th at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Memorial services for Barbara Vandenberg will be Saturday, August 23rd at 11 a.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care, who also has the arrangements. Virgil Schmidt, 75, of Atlantic, died Monday, August 18th at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Virgil Schmidt are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. And Lowell Opperly, 90, of Greenfield, died Tuesday, August 19th at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Lowell Opperly are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. That's the news on KJAN. I'm Mark Saylor reporting.